due to some violent content. Parental discretion is advised.
I admit it. I'm an asshole.
Oh, see? I just can't stand.
Who in the hell do you think you are?
It's about time you did something right.
Damn!
Yeah!
Acknowledge me!
Bitch! Shut up!
You get nothing!
Hey, go fuck yourself. Get that guy out of here.
You are dealing with the best in the world! Go fuck yourself!
Ladies and gentlemen, good evening and welcome to another installment of the North American Wrestling Connection. My name is Nikki Heyman, and around the table today, a little sparse, but lots of familiar faces. I'll start with my numbers guy in Toledo, Mr. Statboy Josh Henniger.
Good evening, everyone. This week has been interesting, and next week is going to be even more so.
And we have our correspondent on the other side of the planet, Bad News Beeman.
Yes, good evening, everybody.
And I know good afternoon to where you are at the moment.
Yes, and good afternoon to fellow Australians, Gear Day, anyways.
So, this has been actually a pretty calm week for wrestling.
Unless you're All Elite Wrestling, they've been pretty darn busy because they just had their pay-per-view last Sunday.
Why, yes, they did.
Saturday.
And Mox wouldn't tell me anything.
That's because he quit like a coward. Again! After screwing, essentially trying to use his lapdogs to attack Darby Allin, Sting came back for one more appearance, essentially pointed the bat at Mox, introduced it a few times to his cronies, destroyed the aquarium in the ring where Moxley was waterboarding Darby Allin.
Oh, good lord.
Yeah.
No wonder he's not talking to me. He knows I'll give him shit for that.
Yes. And ultimately, he tapped out. And note, he would have tapped out again on Dynamite had he not sucker punched the ref.
Crazy.
That match, though, he still lost by disqualification.
Mm.
So at this point, yeah, he's starting to lose his grip. Think the end's coming, but just don't know when yet. Yeah.
I don't want to be that guy in the room, but was I the only one who was like, as soon as Sting came out, why?
Well, it was one of those situations where words mean things. Because if you remember, Sting told Darby, if you needed him, he'll be there. He needed him, so he was there.
Okay. I was already glad that they had Jungle Boy, Jack Perry, and Luchasaurus coming out to help with the save. That's great, because these guys need push with their returning face tag team. That for me made sense. I'm like, okay, cool, they're help. And Jack's one of the four pillars along with Darby. That made sense for me. Sting is supposed to be retired. Now, yes. I know people are going to give me crap, because I cheered hard when Taker came back and had that segment with Bron Breakker. That for me is a different situation. That wasn't a match situation. That was just a promo situation. If it was them just having a promo and everything, that's fine. But this is helping Darby to win a match. And yes, I know Taker came out and helped Cody win the title at Mania. But it's one of those things where I'm like, if people say that they're fucking retired, can you please stay retired?
I understand because where you're coming from.
No, I get it, Shane. He didn't wrestle. He just went out there and swung his bat, the bat, a few times, right?
Yeah, and I get that, but like you have, there are so many other dudes in the back who could get a face, like could get a face push or get some screen time by coming out and helping Darby win.
Or hell, like, introduce somebody.
Exactly, like that. This would like hell. This would have been the perfect opportunity to introduce Andrade as a face had he not have a bloody, what was it now? Reports going around. He's got a year non-compete clause.
There might be another reason why. The non-compete is there because he bailed on the company instead of, you know, getting canned. But WWE might be making a play to bring him back.
Yeah, this
is a mess.
I'm afraid I have some bad news. The Andrade Il Idolo experiment has failed. Okay, yeah. no matter where he goes, this guy just can't get over.
Yeah,
like the dude needs to face facts. Like, I'm sorry. Like, unless you do like some major repackaging, like it's not gonna go well. Because he tried the whole friggin' Mexican cartel shtick. That didn't work because Santos Escobar was already doing it.
Right.
That didn't work for him. Then he didn't want to be known as a tag team guy because that's the whole reason why he was ignoring WWE, because they stuck him into a tag team with Rey Fénix, but they were actually getting over as a tag team, you moron, and then you gave up on it and said, no, I'm better than this. And then, which I find ironic considering the fact that you went to be a bitch boy in AEW in a stable that has so many people in there. But anyways. But just Andrade needs to realize he either needs to change shit up or he needs to get in line and just deal with the fact that he's mid-card and get paid.
If he thinks he's that big of a deal, maybe he should just go to Mexico and jump into that. Because if he's a legacy wrestler,
they might. Absolutely, he's a.
What is he? Second
generation, as far as I'm aware.
Wait, who?
Andrade.
Yeah, I think he's second.
Son of La Sombra. Live research.
Yes, to Lucha Wiki.
But that's what I said the other week. Like I don't understand why he left, especially with WWE now partnering with AAA. Him and Dominic Mysterio could have been doing some amazing work right now, and he could have been battling for the AAA Mega Championship. But he's like, but instead he didn't want to be patient and wait. He's like, no, I want everything now. Well, now look where you are, numbnuts. You went and featured on AEW for 1 week, and then you're back in the back in catering again.
All right. By the way, Andrade is a third generation.
Ooh.
Surprised, eh? He is part of the Moro family. His grandfather, El Moro, who was a well-regarded wrestler from the 50s through the 80s.
Ow.
Yeah.
Damn.
And Andrade is a 22-year vet now, at the age of 36.
So, I get why he's pushing so hard to try to get into that main event, but first of all, you need something more of a character. Maybe he should lean completely into his lucha roots instead of trying to do rich guy, Mexican mafia, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, we've seen that shtick so many times. We've seen it. We saw it with Santos Escobar. We saw it before him with Alberto Del Rio. Like it doesn't get over with the crowd. Santos. That's why Santos started going back into his lucha heritage, and people were getting behind that because, hey, newsflash, people actually love Lucha Libre and they actually get behind it and the fascination behind the history of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why Santos and Legado del Fantasma were starting to get over.
Mm-hmm.
Because people were like, wow, this is actually really cool. And that's why and that's why Rey Mysterio's over, and hell, even why Dominic, even as a heel, is starting to get over, because he even started going into his Lucha Libre heritage and things like that.
And yeah, tribalism aside, you got Penta and Phoenix showed up. They're, you know, no, they don't, they haven't won any titles yet, but people's paying real money to see them.
Yes.
As a mayor, former a mayor and WWE Hall of Famer once said, "Chicks dig the mask."
Yeah.
Like, just
it's true.
Mm-hmm.
It is very true. I love that kind of stuff. I mean, but I also like some of the goofy shit that happens in Lucha Libre, which is why I have Demonito on my Christmas list.
Demonito, but it's the fact that Omos has now got a highlight reel of chucking a little person like that. I mean, if that doesn't show you the goofiness that Lucha Libre stars will do, even little ones, like, damn.
Well, yeah, but you have to do that. If you got a 7'5" guy and you've got a 2'2" guy, you got to do it.
People to this day are still talking about Undertaker choke slamming Mini Taker, but anyway, it's just.
Or what about, you know, JBL yeeting Hornswoggle into the cage?
Yeah.
Oh. Actually, speaking of him, he actually did a "What's Your Story" situation. Then,
yes,
I didn't know that this man really he's another one who's been hiding injuries and should not be wrestling, because he should be paralyzed by this point.
Yeah, doubly so, especially since, you know, he's 4'4".
It's just, it's insane.
Yeah.
But I do agree with you, though, Josh. I did watch Wrestle Dream, and it was good. Only two down points for me, and people are going to hate me for it, but I don't care.
Okay.
One, the Sting situation, because I made my point very clear on that.
Yeah.
I'm a man of keeping your word. If you say you're fucking retired, stay retired. Because otherwise, you're just killing your legacy at this point. And number two, Ultimo Money.
Yeah. Now up to 12 belts, Money, after winning the ROH TV title off of Mina Shirakawa. And now,
no. That was how she got the. That's how she got the 11th. She got the 11th.
Oh, she got the 12th off of Jody Threat in Winnipeg Pro Wrestling.
Yeah.
So, don't worry. It's not going to stick, because eventually she's carrying all that gold. She's going to throw a shoulder.
Yeah, it isn't just that, but also there is a possibility she can win belt number 13.
But at the way, at the rate it's going, it looks like she's going for 14, because she's been this friggin' in this interim tag team championship tournament with Athena.
It's not interim. And this is the inaugural.
Oh, sorry, inaugural. Sorry, wording. Sorry. So yeah, the inaugural women's championship tournament with Athena.
Yes.
And then she's going after Chris Statlander for the women's championship. So we have a potential of seeing 14 belts money, and I'm just going to say this. If we see this, then you can't fucking tell me that she's not using her booking influence here.
Yeah.
You can't fucking tell me. You can't tell me that she's not doing it. Because I will call bullshit, I will look Tony Khan in his face, and I'll call him a fucking liar.
Mm-hmm. So let me take a look at the brackets for the upcoming women's tournament to determine the inaugural women's tag team champions in All Elite Wrestling. Okay, so sorry, I'm just trying to find it real quick.
More live research
for folks. That's the brainstorm. There it is. It will be Queen Aminata and Jamie Hayter facing off against the Sisters of Sin. That would be Sky Blue and Julia Hart. Willow Nightingale and Harley Cameron face off against Mercedes Moné and Athena. And Athena's already doing her magic to make Moné her minion. Alex Windsor and Riho will face off against Timeless Toni Storm and Mina Shirakawa, a.k.a. Club Venus. And Megan Bain and Penelope Ford will be facing off against the reunited Taejae. That, of course, would be Tenera Conti and Anna Jay. The tournament starts next week on Dynamite and will probably conclude at Full Gear next month.
Okay.
Let me make sure that is accurate. Yeah, it'll probably be more than accurate. November 22nd, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, there's already a second match announced for Full Gear, which will be a pre-show match. Big Boom AJ and a partner of his choice, chances are that's going to be Orange Cassidy, facing off against Roppongi Vice, and that would be Rocky Romero and Trent Barretta. So yeah, there's not much yet, but we're still a good 4 weeks out.
Right. So, all right, we got a pay-per-view out of the way. Mox is still on the road, so I don't have to worry about him interrupting anything.
Yeah.
Shall we peek in on Monday?
Yes, let's. Because, yeah, come on. I hate the internet sometimes, I swear. Because we had ourselves a battle royal to determine who will face CM Punk for the vacant world title. Because Seth is out with a legitimate injury. This is no gimmickry this time. He got hurt.
Yeah. And Pierce almost got his ass kicked when he tried to, when he was trying to get Breaker to hand him the belt.
Yeah.
Say please. Anyway.
Can we just, can I just say how good Braun Breaker looks with that damn belt, though?
Oh, yeah. That's happening sooner than later.
Yeah.
That, put him on, like, the fact that he... For the Rumble. Oh, hell yeah. The fact that, like, he came out and he looked like a champion, like, he looked like he had it. Like, I was legitimately pissed when Pierce removed both him and Reed from this battle royal.
Mm-hmm.
Like Breaker, I can understand. Breaker, I can understand why you removed him, because he embarrassed you in front of a crowd and made you say please to giving back the belt. But why did Bronson Breed get taken out like that?
Because probably guilt by association.
I know, but that like, but that. I get that sentiment.
He was a co-conspirator that, you know, he aided and abetted on this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. But like, this is the man that has now taken out your top generational talent in Roman Reigns out twice. So it's like, if anyone's a contender for the World Heavyweight Championship, the trouble thief is it. But
yeah.
But I digress. Let's get with who we got, which is no surprise.
Yeah, not a surprise at all, though it looks like there might be more divide, or there might be a bit more dividedness between the Usos coming, because Jay got the win because he decided to screw over Jimmy.
I know, and that was, look, that's brilliant booking, and like, there are people speculating that Jay's gonna join the Vision later on down the track to complete his heel turn, but I love the last few seconds of this, because I was legitimately looking at my screen and I was screaming for Dominic Mysterio to win this, because that would have been perfect long-term storytelling booking there, because CM Punk has haunted Dominic Mysterio since he was a teenager when he got into his face during the Straight Edge Society era. And that would have been
his version of the happy birthday promo.
Yeah.
Which is creepy as fuck. Anyway. Looking forward to some of the face to face we'll see with this this coming Monday. So putting Jay in this situation, is this a legitimate second attempt to put Jay on top? Or was this just, what the hell are we going to do?
Why not both? Because this was very much a last second, oh crap, we got to throw this in. Because I would expect they were expecting Rollins to hold it at least till Rumble, if not beyond. That obviously isn't going to happen now.
Right.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat as you, Josh. I have a feeling that this was going to lead up to another Evolution situation with Bron Breakker playing the part of Batista and Bron winning the Rumble and then saying he's going to challenge Seth at WrestleMania. But unfortunately, injuries stuck and do happen.
Yeah.
So we've had to pull an audible here. And like I said, as much as I would have loved to have seen like Dom versus CM Punk for the World Heavyweight Championship, just to give people a just to get the feelers out there for people to see if they want to see three belt Mysterio. But yeah, I do like where they're going with the Jay storyline. I just, yeah. And clearly it is trending in a bad way for Jay as well. Cause he has got every part of his success has gotten dislikes, majority. So I think this is the perfect opportunity, if he does lose to Punk, this is the night where you need to solidify that heel turn.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, so just a point where Jay snaps and just like beats the absolute crap out of Punk, and even if Breaker and Reed come out and destroy him along with him, and they're all just standing in the ring.
Yeah.
I was going to say I agree with you about the Dominic Mysterio stuff. This would have been the perfect time to do what I've called the test title match. Where you get, you know, you put somebody who may or may not be ready into a title match, just see what the crowd does. And I think Dominic would have everybody on his side.
Yeah, this would legit have been like Cena versus Lesnar back when he was the Doctor of Thuganomics.
Yeah.
And got a shot at the WWE Championship. This would have been the perfect title run, title match situation, just to see how fans react to... Because if Dominic Mysterio goes out there with CM Punk, who is the most over babyface at the moment, and we get a like Hogan Rock situation where it's 50-50, you know you've got something with Dominic Mysterio.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to see that. Just shut up and take my money. Jay?
Well,
go ahead.
I was going to say, I think we are going to get that with Mysterio, just not in this situation. Because I think they're setting up Dom for something bigger in his hometown of San Diego.
Ooh, that's true.
Where they're going to do Survivor Series, potentially Dom versus Cena for the IC title. So that's probably going to be the big one for him.
I'm down.
And sorry, you were saying about Jay?
I was going to say, since Jay, we got Jay on top, but it just wasn't quite there. You know, everybody wanted it, but when we got there, it was, now what?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, this would be I'd like to see, you know, Jay snap, go complete heel. Jimmy looked like he was halfway to heel turn on SmackDown tonight, but we'll get there.
Mm-hmm.
See what else happened on Monday that we might need to talk about.
You see now, AJ and Dragon Lee.
Oh yeah, the new team of the new team of AJ and Dragon Lee with AJ's retirement run.
Mm-hmm.
New tag team champions. Yay. Woot woot. hopefully they'll defend the titles more than the Judgment Day did.
Yeah.
Becky
Lynch being a massive crybaby as per usual.
And I think she had every right to get. Well, I was thinking more of the backstage segment later when she got into Uncle Paul's face and said, "We knew you were gonna turn on, you know, you were gonna turn on Seth at some point."
Yeah.
And when he comes back, you know, you better have more than Braun and Bronson backing you up.
Mm-hmm.
No, the best line she used was, "Seth, you're insignificant to Seth. Seth's not going to kill you, but he's going to make you wish that he did." I was like, "Oh, goosebumps!" There you go.
Yeah. Because everybody
but
thought.
Josh...
Yeah.
So you go.
No, go ahead.
I was like, just Josh, come back to your Becky doing her crybaby thing. She's doing some beautiful work on Instagram. I'm sorry, but yes. She is. She's doing beautiful work. Because she had to go.
I seen the post on Reddit as well. She's blaming everybody but herself for that loss.
Yeah, she blamed Jessica Carr and saying, Jessica, like, we had a bad referee in Jessica Carr. Like, clearly Jessica Carr did not see Maxine use a full closed fist, which is a illegal move, mind you. Illegal move. And she hit me in my lip. You can see the bruising right there. I'm just like, Jesus.
Yeah. And all I can say is sucks to suck. Because, yeah, I mean, she got hurt, and she's blaming everybody but herself for that loss. Especially since, you know, she was the one who nailed Maxine Dupri with the belt.
Yep.
Becky wasn't successful at lying, cheating, and stealing, but the greatest Mysterio of all time was...
Dominic.
And it's just beautiful. It's just absolutely beautiful.
Mm-hmm. And even the fact he got cheered for it.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. It was, you know, are we sure that Eddie isn't his real father?
Yeah. At this point, I would have heavy concerns.
I have several questions.
Yes.
I'm sure Ray's sitting at home on the couch going, Angie, I think me and you have to talk. We're just, mm-hmm. I'm getting there at this point.
Yeah.
But when Dominic turns face, I think he will become one of the biggest baby faces in the company.
Yeah, because he's got all the intrigue with, you know, the whole Eddie situation as it was growing up. And even as a face, he can talk shit about Ray being a deadbeat dad and referencing Eddie, which Ray and Dominic would be laughing like hell backstage about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because that, ladies and gentlemen, is long-term storytelling.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's just sad that some people aren't happy about the whole situation, but that's probably because they aren't involved in it, but nevertheless. Of course, I'm talking about Chavo Guerrero, ladies and gentlemen, just in case we're lost in the dark here. Because he's gone on record multiple times and saying, like, they're beating a dead horse here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, Eddie would probably love the fact that he's being remembered and referenced, even though he, good Lord, he's been gone 20 in like 3 weeks. It's going to be 20 years.
Yeah. How much time has passed?
Dang. I just know.
Oh my!
I know that when. No, it happened. It happened on a weekend.
Yes, it was a Saturday into a Sunday, wasn't it?
Yeah, because Skinny John was on his way to the. I believe it was a pay per view.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it was a pay per view or Raw, but he was on his way out there, and I had to call him. With the bad news.
Wasn't it on the way to Survivor, or it was a week before Survivor Series that year, wasn't it?
Boy, what are we talking about here? When Eddie passed away?
Yeah. His last match was a SmackDown in my general area, because I was there. I saw Eddie's last match against Ken Kennedy.
Dang.
Yeah, no, it was a what was it? It was, It wasn't one of the big ones. It was one of the Survivor Series.
So it was like, Armageddon was in December.
Yeah, it was the one after. It would have been Taboo Tuesday, 2 weeks prior.
Cyber Sunday.
Cyber Sunday didn't exist in 05.
Okay.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I didn't know if it was. Oh no, because he did compete at No Mercy. I know that for a fact.
But yeah, I called Skinny John to let him know that that happened. He was on his way out there because I think the show was in Minnesota.
Yes.
And this was before I moved out there.
It was in Minneapolis.
So, and then that Monday.
I was correct. The event that was supposed to happen, that Eddie was supposed to be a part of before he passed away, was No Mercy 2005.
That was okay. His last pay-per-view match.
Oh, no, yeah, sorry, yeah, no, no, sorry, sorry, I misread it. So, yeah, so the event just before Eddie Guerrero's passing was No Mercy 2005, yeah, which I said he did participate in.
Yeah, and then
he passed away in October 9.
I'm taking a look here real quick. Was he part of Taboo Tuesday? No. He was not. Okay, that makes sense. Because Taboo Tuesday would have still been a Raw pay-per-view, so the last pay-per-view for SmackDown was No Mercy.
Right, and then we were working our way towards Survivor Series, because Kennedy was... This was before Kennedy didn't win the briefcase till 07.
No, Josh was right. Josh was right. It was Survivor Series 2005.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah.
No, it's
fine. So No Mercy pay per view was on October 9th, which was also Eddie Guerrero's birthday, and then the immediate follow up was Survivor Series 2005, which was on November 13th.
Okay.
And they found him that morning.
Yeah.
It was to the point that I had a couple of non-wrestling acquaintances ask me about Eddie. That's how big this was.
Yeah.
This made some crazy headlines. So they were asking me if I knew Eddie. I unfortunately didn't get a chance to meet him. I've met Chavo. And I've met Hector.
Mm-hmm.
But I did not have the pleasure of meeting Eddie.
Yeah.
So I still think that I think it's fine that Dominic makes these references, because A, it's continuity. B, anybody who didn't get to see Eddie when he was out, you know, when he was wrestling, should go back and watch some of the stuff, especially his Latino Heat stuff with China.
Oh, that's right. This was during the chaos era. This was back when they did the whole Team SmackDown versus Team Raw, where Batista got choke slammed through the window. Eddie was supposed to be part of Team SmackDown,
yes.
But then he got replaced by Mysterio, I'm pretty sure, or yeah. By Layfield.
It would have been I think it was one or the other that he got replaced by. I forget which.
Yeah,
because the following SmackDown, that's when they did a whole bunch of tribute stuff.
Yes,
Ray came out in a low rider, Chavo. JBL laid down for Chavo, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Chavo had to get out of his Kerwin White gimmick at that point and get back to being Chavo.
Yeah.
Thank God. That was.
I thought it was funny. But...
It was funny, but it was one of those situations where he's a Guerrero. He's not. I didn't want to see him being a clown with Nick Nemeth in his very first role.
Yes. Ken Nemeth knew absolutely nothing about golf. Never mind, not even being a caddy. I love.
Although that, he might that, know something about whacking balls.
Stop that.
Yes.
I was going to go a step further with that one, but I was like, nope. I'm just leaving it at that. No.
I'm going to have to repost a picture I got with Ziegler at Kent State. There was framed golf clubs behind him. And I still get a chuckle out of getting that picture.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see, what else have we got? I did not see NXT this week.
Pretty much it's more set up for Halloween Havoc, because that is that's coming tomorrow. Up.
I think it's tomorrow night, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, with Ricky Saints facing off against Trick Williams for the NXT title. JC Jane, who isn't injured, is facing off against Tatum Paxley for the NXT women's title. Mm-hmm. The Hardys, or should I say, the Broken Hardys, yes! Facing off against Dark State for the tag team titles. Ethan Page facing off against Alijo del Dr. Wagner Jr. In a Day of the Dead match, which is just an anything goes match. Zarya, who's taking place of the actually injured, probably injured Sol Ruka, facing off against Blake Monroe for the Women's North American title. And then, your favorite current wrestler, Nikki.
Hmm?
Who do you think I'm talking about?
Roman Reigns? Oh, wait.
No, not Roman.
Hendry?
No, Mr. Iguana.
Ooh.
And La Parca. That would be La Parca 3, mind you. Not the guy yes. from WCW, not the other guy who's dead. But La Parca right. and Mr. Iguana will be facing off against Javon Evans and Leon Slater.
I wonder which one this of them's match. Getting a puppet.
You know, I was going to say, this match is going to be bouncy, and it's going to have bouncy puppets.
Yes.
That is going to be one clean ring match. Yes. That is going to be one clean ring match.
Eh. It's going to have La Yesca in it, so I don't think it's going to exactly be clean, but...
What? She's house trained.
No, it's not the house training part, as in it's a land-based mammal. Or maybe not mammal, amphibian. You know what I mean.
Yeah.
I fully expect that mat to be used by La Yesca.
Now, that's on Peacock, right? I might be able to watch it while
yes,
I'm at the convention.
Yes, I do believe.
Tomorrow.
Live research real quick. Yes, it is going to be on Peacock in the United States. If you have an international, that would be safe for you, Shane. It will be on Netflix.
Sweet. I have Peacock on my tablet. I'll be able to watch it.
Yep.
Watch it tomorrow.
You're fine, then. You're perfectly fine.
Yay.
Yay. Wish I had a soundboard, but I don't.
I demand VRM to start being here regularly.
Good luck.
I know.
Until he stops running his life away, he will not be back.
I know.
Not frequently, anyway. Damn.
Mm.
Anyways.
So, I did not see Dynamite.
I told you the big one. Kyle O'Reilly beat John Moxley by DQ because John Moxley decided to be a bitch again. And of course, we talked about the tag titles a bit.
Right.
But also more trouble brewing between two people in the Don Callis family. That would be Of course, Konosuke Takeshita and Kazuchika Okada. The AEW Unified Champion, and of course the IWGP World Heavyweight Champion.
Right.
Yeah, Takeshita's doing well with his character development.
Yes, he is.
Like, it's I'm actually intrigued to watch Takeshita versus Okada. If it's going to be title for title, or whatever the case may be, that's fine. But I'm actually intrigued to see this match. This is how you book things.
Yes,
not just randomly throwing crap at the wall and seeing what sticks.
Yeah.
But that's Tony Khan's shtick.
To some degree, yes. But then again, it also has been other company shtick as well. It's just currently it is a little stickier with Tony. That's it. Because right now, he's also going through the phase known as the Broke Bucks. Still. Where they have another money match coming up soon with them and FTR facing off against Jet Speed and Jurassic Express, I believe.
Where have I seen this before?
A few times.
Where was I saying this before? Oh wait, that's right. I think I can hear Pat McAfee from here saying bum ass Corbin.
Yep.
It's like okay, cool. Like, I'm supposed to feel sorry for the Bucks?
No, you're not supposed to feel sorry for the Bucks. You're supposed to laugh at them because they're broke ass bitches, and it's working.
I'd like them to be so broke that they can't even make it to the show. How about that?
Give it a little.
That would be bad.
That would just happen.
Cool.
We don't have money for gas.
Yeah.
Exactly. We can't afford an Uber, and nobody will come pick us up because everybody else hates us.
Yeah. Leads to a loss by count out. Or something.
Or forfeit. Something.
Yeah.
I'm down.
Mm-hmm. So would I be. So would I.
Let's see. What else have we got?
I am liking Samoa Joe's heel work, though. Samoa Joe is just a natural heel. Please do not ever make him face again. He works. He is a heel. Yeah. Natural born heel. Leave him as it.
Yes, he is.
The only reason I think he even went face in the first place is because, hey, he's on Twisted Metal. And that's the reason
why. What, a bad guy? And a bad guy can't promote Twisted Metal? I mean, it is a show about people killing each other.
True, but the thing is, he also was coming back from injury. So he's just getting back. He's just swimming again. So yeah, I think he's going to be all right, though. Either way.
Yeah. No, he's much better. He is much better as a heel. And the mystique of him. I'll also say this. I was scared to approach him the first couple of times I tried to get a picture with him. I was worried that he was going to choke a bitch.
Yeesh.
Oh yeah, when he was the Samoan submission machine in TNA, I highly doubt anyone wanted to go up and talk to the guy. When he became Nation of Violence Joe, he was a menace. Like, I mean, I don't think anyone was like going, "Oh yeah, let's take a picture with him."
Mm-mm. Joe's gonna kill you. I believed it.
Yeah.
Now, let's see, we're only in about an hour past SmackDown, and a lot of fun stuff going on in there. Cody and Drew at each other's throats, or mostly Drew chasing down Cody and trying to get Cody to do stuff.
Yeah.
And Drew continuing to protest that he was not the one that jumped Jacob Fatu. Hmm. Well, when they found him blood, hair, teeth, and eyes all over the place, quite literally, who knows?
Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of speculation as to who it was. I have a feeling I know who it was, and if I was writing this, it would make perfect sense. But yeah. But this is WWE. I said Cody Rhodes did it.
Hmm.
I said Cody Rhodes took out Jacob, and here's why. Because Jacob obviously had an injury that was going to take him out until 2026. Depending on how bad the injury is, he could still potentially be back by Royal Rumble. If not before Mania.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So my thing was that because we saw the earlier confrontation between Jacob and Cody, and Jacob saying, after I'm done dog walking Drew, I'll be taking that WWE Championship off you. And we've seen a more aggressive side to Cody lately.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think at this point, Cody was tired of being disrespected, attacked Jacob from behind, just made sure to take him out of the match, because Cody knows he can beat Drew. But right. He's not sure if he can beat Jacob.
Mm-hmm. And wouldn't this be fun? Something that Drew continued in his monologue, talking about how people are blind to the EVP version of Cody. That, you know, he's a beloved face, but he's doing all this heel shit. Excuse me. Something that I've joked on and off about with since Cody came over from AEW. So if hashtag Drew was right, just imagine what kind of chaos that'd cause.
Yeah.
The other one that people are speculating is Orton. To eventually lead up to his heel turn against Cody, which it would make sense, but then if that was the case, then if it was Orton, then you could have had a backstage segment with him and Aldis going, well, look, Jacob's out of the match, man, put me in there with Drew, like sort of like a Bully Ray situation. Bully Ray situation where he's gone, look, man, just put me in the match. Like I can do this. Like, and if Drew still beats Randy, which then eventually has him snapping when Cody retains the title off Drew and finally turning on Cody and revealing he was the one that attacked Jacob. It's like, could go down that avenue. But yeah, we'll have to wait and see. But it's got more questions than answers.
Yeah.
That means they're doing it right. I'm going to have to go back and rewatch it, but what I saw of the Aleister Black Ilya Dragunov match was intense. I love the fact that Sammy convinced Ilya to keep up the open challenge. And I like me some Aleister Black, even if he and Zelina are stealing from Scarlett and Karrion Kross with their entrance.
I don't know. This was one thing I actually think they did wrong.
Okay.
Because Ilya and Black, because Aleister Black was just starting to get a push with with Zelina in his corner. Ilya's only just won the United States Championship. I feel like this match could have been a match that you could have had a huge build with, like, and done psych outs with. And with Damian Priest coming out and doing the distraction and having Black lose semi clean, it's just like, well, what's the point in that? Like, what's the point in that? And then you have Damian Priest beating him up afterwards. It's like he should have just attacked him before the match. Like, granted, we would have been seeing that 3 weeks in a row, but still. It still leaves it gives people the thing of, oh crap, we've got another beatdown happening pre-match. Who's the actual person that's going to come out this time?
Right.
And we would have been surprised. Granted, we were surprised with Black, but I don't know. I just feel like if you've got two people who are coming up at the same time, they shouldn't meet the very next week. Like, it needs to be built up.
We're going to come back around to it, because I think they had Zelina out there, and she gets thrown out, and then Damian Priest comes out, further nullifying any advantage that Aleister had. And it was enough of a distraction to a normally focused Aleister for Ilya to get the win. Black and Damian Priest might still have some issues, especially since Damian Priest is recovering from the fireball that Zelina threw at him last week or the week before.
Shout out to that eye makeup person too. You did brilliant work.
Yeah, that looked rather toasty. So yeah. Those two might not be done yet, and they can come back around with Ilya, because I have a feeling that if Carmelo isn't mired in a feud with The Miz, Melo is going to go back out there and try to challenge Ilya.
Which that'll be a good callback to NXT.
Yeah. So you do that, and you can go either way with this. That Miz jumps, that Miz might interrupt the match. Or if somehow Carmella won the title, Miz is going to be right there saying, you're giving me a match because I was your mentor. And Elle's going to be like, what? No. And if Ilya retains, Melo's not going to lose a lot from that, because he's still kind of, I hate to say drifting, but Melo just doesn't seem to be, I don't know.
Acting?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they went away from his character for a bit there. Actually, I think the main roster sort of killed his character a little bit, because he was built up in NXT to be him, like to be like the best of the best, and then he comes to the main roster and he's losing constantly, and it's like, well, that's not the best of the best, man. Like, he was on a good record when he came from NXT, and then all of a sudden he comes to the main roster and he's losing to mid-card guys and lower-card guys. So it's like, and then, so I think then the fans disconnected from his him persona and said, well, what the hell? Like, this isn't who we saw in NXT.
I need to triangulate something. Statboy did.
Yeah.
Was Carmella called up before Vince stepped down?
That doesn't seem quite right, because he would have come up April 26th, 2024. And when did Vince McMahon get forcefully yanked away and told, nope, you're done?
Before WrestleMania 2024.
It would have been for, let me see here. Wish this would give me a little bit better information on Wikipedia.
Vince sold WWE in September of 2023.
Yes.
So he was out.
Okay, so he was more or less NXT gone. Land.
Okay, so Vince was more or less gone at that point.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking that Carmella might have befallen the same fate that a lot of the NXT call-ups would get. You know, they'd be these awesome performers in NXT, but then does it translate?
Yeah.
Well, that's what a lot of the IWC were saying too, because like a lot of Triple H's supposed boys that got called up from NXT were doing crap on the main roster.
Mm-hmm.
Like bar Johnny Gargano and Ciampa, because they've been multiple time tag team champions, but everybody else has been. Everybody else, except for Sammy and Owens, have been semi-drifting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, haven't been doing much. Carmelo Hayes, Aleister Black, Andrade. A whole bunch of them weren't really doing anything. The ones that gained the most from being called up from NXT Black and Gold were Charlotte Flair, Sasha, Bailey, Sammy, and Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
Those were the ones. I suppose you could make an argument for Finn, but injuries sort of killed his run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I really wish they would find him a way back to the top. Because I know he's only have a few years left in him, because he's got to be 40.
Finn.
Yeah.
He's early 40s. I think he's 41.
Okay, so yeah, I think he's got another 3 to 5 years, barring injury.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see him at the top one more time.
I was actually hoping after Homecoming the reaction he got from Homecoming, that would have been like the turnaround point, and we would have seen him going, you know what, screw Judgment Day, I don't need you guys, I'm Finn, I'm the Prince, I'm Finn friggin' Balor. Like, I don't need you guys, I remember who I am now, I've been stuck in a rut in this bloody thing
mm-hmm.
with
That might be coming now that he and JD don't have the tag belts anymore, and with Dominic going face and Raquel and Liv doing fine without the guys, Judgment Day is just going to splinter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but my only worry with that is Dom's going to be fine. Finn, if he can break back into his Prince heel persona that he had in NXT, then he'll be definitely fine. As you said, Raquel and Roxanne are doing great in the women's tag team division, because Raquel is now finally working as a big woman. She's finally learned her role.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The only person I'm worried about is JD, because once Judgment Day goes, I have a feeling that JD's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, because for a while there, he was nothing but the comedy jobber for the group. If they were supposed to lose something, he was the one staring at the lights.
Yeah, because that was originally Carlito, but then Carlito was gone. Mm-hmm. Carlito's been axed. So JD's the next in line.
I would hate to see JD lose his job, because he almost was a casualty of the speaking out movement himself, but found his way back around and has done well for himself.
Yeah, don't get me wrong, any illegal reasons or anything like that, I don't think anyone should lose their job, especially if they're simply a mid-carder or anything like that, because they're still doing what they love to do and they're entertaining the fans. But the thing is, like, unfortunately, like, if JD's gone from Judgment Day, I just don't know what you do with him. Like, you'd have to repackage him and maybe get him back to, I can't even remember who he was before he went into Judgment Day.
One of his other nicknames was the Irish Ace. He really didn't have a really big hook for a gimmick.
He doesn't.
Like, yeah, the Irish Ace, like, I could get behind the Irish Ace thing, provided that, like, I don't know, if you turn it into, like, a Kevin Nash back when WCW, like, Vinny Vegas situation, like, and make him do that type of gimmick, like, as the Irish Ace, every time he, although Ace Austin might crack the crap. But like every time he beats someone, just put like an ace of spades or something on his freaking on their body and be like, bam, done. But I don't know.
Isn't there a Bullet Club guy that
that's Ace might Austin. Have a problem with
that? Ace Austin, that's what I'm saying. Ace Austin would probably have a gimmick infringement.
It might get him a job.
It might keep him in a job, man. So, like, you know, Ace, don't be stingy with the thing, man. If you do the gimmick better, then don't whinge about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't see Glenn Jacobs crying from his office saying that there's some guy going around in blue, calling himself Blue Kane, or some guy that's doing actually worse than that and going around calling himself Cocaine. It's like, it's cocaine.
Okay, that's funny.
Yeah.
That's actually kind of funny. I'm gonna have to look that one up.
Oh, it's so terrible that it's funny. It's like, and the guy that does the commentary for it, he just kills it as well. he goes, he's using some white powder. That's gotta be cocaine.
cocaine.
So does it come out to the song Cocaine?
Would be really awesome.
I don't know. That would be awesome if he does. I haven't seen his entrance, but oh god, it would be amazing if he did.
Mm-hmm.
Oh god. See, this is why you listen to us, ladies and gentlemen, because we come up with all these ideas for all these different companies. We really should be in writing teams somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Or can we at least get, you know, some sort of percentage of royalties? Hell, I'd even take a couple free T-shirts.
Same here. Like, I already get money with my other job. I don't need money from helping you guys boost ratings. But give me some free T-shirts every now and then. We're good.
Yeah.
You know, I'd ask for tickets, but you'd put me in the nosebleeds.
Yeah. Don't need that, especially in WA and a bloody spring. Springtime, but anyways. Never mind.
So I think the only other news wasn't there further settlement with the Hogan Bubba, the Love Sponge bullshit? We don't have to talk about it.
I know you're right on that. There was a settlement reached in the Bubba Love Sponge's Hulk Hogan documentary lawsuit.
Where's our legal eagle when we need him?
Yeah. He's saying hello to people from Oklahoma, I do believe. But yeah.
By God, that's going to be Mr. Block.
Yeah. But yeah. The details are currently unavailable whether or not the film will continue to include the footage in question. So they might cut it out. They might not. Who knows? But. Yeah.
Maybe the project will get canceled entirely.
I'm okay with that.
Couldn't happen to a nicer asshole.
Yeah.
The only other thing that was noticeable from SmackDown as well, Nikki, which got us our third match for Saturday night's main event, was Jade Cargill finally turned heel and attacked Tiffany Stratton.
Yeah, and I had to actually explain this to somebody. Because they're like, you know, what's this all about? And I said, well, first of all, she doesn't have Bianca or Naomi to ground her. And there's a reason why she was called that bitch in AEW. Mm-hmm. So I'm down. I just want to see if she's gotten better.
I actually said to Josh before you got here, I said I will put money on it now. I think we're definitely going to be seeing three new champions coming out of Saturday night's main event.
Whoa.
I think we're definitely getting a new world heavyweight champion. I have heard rumblings, though. God, I hope they're not true. That Jay will win, and we're gonna get a run back of Jay versus Jimmy, to make up for their terrible match that they had at WrestleMania. So
they had an awful match because they needed to keep the spots for the next night. Anyway.
Yeah, but look. If that's the end game, you're gonna run back Jimmy and Jay. You can do it without the title. Like, just have Jimmy cost Jay the match or whatever the case may be. But yeah, it doesn't need to be for the belt. We need Punk to have a semi long heavyweight championship run.
Yeah.
I think Punk should take it from here. Jay loses his shit. Jimmy loses his shit. And we get heel Usos all over the place.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it would make sense. So you have Punk win. Jay loses his shit, attacks Punk. Jimmy comes down and tries to Dave Punk and says, Jay, what the hell are you doing? You're acting like Roman. And then that just makes Jay lay out Jimmy, and then have him raise hands with the Vision. And then that leads up to War Games match with Jay, Bronson, and Reed and two others. Potentially Finn and JD versus the team of that probably makes a bit more sense. So Jay, where are we? Jay bringing Bronson and Breaker, Dominic Mysterio. Go back to my original one. So Finn and JD versing Jimmy, Roman, AJ Dragon, and potentially Cody. Because they might do Drew versus Randy at Survivor Series.
Right. And because I would like to see Punk win it, and that will give impetus to when Seth comes back. I don't know. I haven't even heard speculation on how. No, we did have a timetable, and he'd be pushing it to get back in time for Mania.
Mm-hmm.
So, if there was a way we could get Punk to keep the title until SummerSlam, and Seth come back, say, late June. And go into another rampage mode where you can't have them in the same building together. And they have to have the match because Seth won't shut up about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I I don't know. I don't see Punk holding it until SummerSlam next year. I think they'll continue with the breaker scenario.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have Breaker versus potentially Punk at WrestleMania, beating Punk at Mania. Then that could lead up to Seth making a return as a babyface and facing Bron for the World Heavyweight Championship at SummerSlam or wherever he returns, whenever he returns.
Right. That'll work too. Oh, that's something else we should bring up. Now, I know everybody here loves Nia Jax. I know somebody just threw up a little in their mouth.
I was about to say. I think Jason's ears are ringing right now. Going, someone said I love Nia Jax. What?
Well, I found it interesting that it sounded like Nia was prodding Alexa to bring out her Wyatt 6 persona. Is that what Nia's looking for?
Mm-hmm. Think so? Not sure.
Yeah. Oh no, actually that was actually an interesting point there. Because everyone's wondering about this MFT versus the Wyatt 6 situation and going, okay, well, MFT's full of all women. So who are they going to be bringing in to take care of the Nikki Cross situation?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Nia's a good option, but I've been hearing rumors that a returning Tamina might be in the picture.
That'd be interesting. But Tamina really didn't wrestle all that much when she was here the first go around.
No, because she apparently had some injuries that she had some nagging injuries that she had to deal with. That's the reason why she's been out. That's why she's still amazingly with the WWE, but hasn't been released or anything, so she's been flying under the radar hard.
Okay, yeah, I think they should the Tongans should bring in Tamina. That would make more sense. I don't think they would. I don't think the Tongans would put up with Nia. Or maybe it's go ahead.
Nia makes sense because she's family with Solo.
True. And he'd probably welcome her. It's just that I'm the one that says that MFT actually stands for the motherfucking Tongans.
we're all hoping that to hear that one day. Wow, I didn't know Tamina was 47. Damn.
So Nia's probably gonna probably be the better choice. Nothing against Tamina. I'm not trying to be ageist. But sounds like Nia might be here.
Yeah, no, I think Nia might be the better option here. Yeah, just because, you know, Nia's not too far off either. She's 41, but yeah, I don't know. But if Tamina does come back, it'll be cool. I'd like to see her in the like Tongan face paint they've got going on at the moment. but we'll wait and see. Hell, they might even surprise us and bring in a complete unknown. I mean, it wouldn't be the first time we've had an unknown appear at Survivor Series.
Are you talking about some ham hock back in 1990?
Yes, look at the size of that ham hock. Thank you, Roddy. We love you and miss you. It's still one of the best lines.
Oh, it is. It is. Oh, goodness. So, Stepboy, do we have anything else? Did we miss anything?
I don't think so.
Then it might be time to sell some soap, don't you think?
Yeah. First off, Shane, do you have anything to promote?
No, just selling myself out as usual. So, if you need to hear any more of my wrestling opinions, come listen to me on TikTok at Aussie Asshole.
And as for me, this week on It Was a Thing on TV, things kind of went a little off the rails because of real life issues. This week's episode, Helltown, a Robert Blake movie-turned-TV series, TV movie, that got shoved against Dynasty and got destroyed as a direct result. Only lasted about half of the 1985-86 season. The other half will eventually be covered in next year. Or the other half, as in the part from 1986. Next week, I don't know. And then the TV guy, once again, the re-ranking of the TV guy top 50 worst shows of all time. But you can find all of that and so much more, and it was a thing on TV.com. Nikki, your artist shoutouts.
All right, give me a second here. Our usual shout out to Jamie Claudier, who sounds like the stress level is finally coming down, but that's only going to last for about 2 weeks, and then yeah, they get into full Thanksgiving mode.
Yes.
Obligatory shout out to Oniwambashu. Let me go take a look at her page real quick. No current artwork posted, but definitely check her work out on Tumblr. She has a DeviantArt account. It's safe for work, trust me. She has a card account for commissions. I don't know what she's charging for her commissions anymore. It's been a while since I've asked her for anything. Who else have I got? Dozer Draws at Little Dozer Baby. If you're looking to do something soft, wholesome, couple other ways to describe it. I love his work. He's expensive, but his stuff is gorgeous. Go check his stuff out. He also posts art on Instagram, Tumblr, and Blue Sky. Who else want to talk about? Noberto Gaitan. Very anime style. Commissions are open. His two most recent art put up on his Twitter include Ilya Dragunov and Sami Zayn. His commission issues is commission info is through VGen, although you probably privately message him, he'll probably just direct you back to VGen. He's not terribly expensive. Stuff I got for under $100. If you'd like more anime in the wrestling art, check out Otanad on Instagram and Nahualtajes on Twitter. Otanad, I am not aware if he's doing commissions or not. If for some reason you can't find his stuff, just go to My Dear Uncle Paul's Twitter or Instagram and you will find a lot of that artwork for ahead of time. Nahualtajes does anime style and a couple of other styles. He's probably the least expensive out of the artists I've listed. Definitely check him out. If you want an artist who's also a wrestler, you go check out Topla at D_Topla on Twitter. If you don't know who she is, you'll recognize her art from the But I Digress Taz that pops up in the crowd most of the time. inspired from a bunch of doodles that she did for Matthew for Botchamania.
That stuff has went super viral.
To be honest, I like some of the other ones that are coming up. I don't like the one they must have gone. They went to another artist for McAfee.
Yes.
And McAfee looks like a mutant Johnny Bravo.
Is that terribly inaccurate?
Yeah, you got a point. But yeah, you've seen her art on Botchamania if you watch that, and I try to make a point of at least checking in. So definitely, you know, for any kind of fan commission, for any kind of fan art you get, pay well, communicate, ask for work in progress, just so you know you're not dealing with an AI generator. Post it everywhere you have an internet presence and credit the artist. This way, people will say, hey, that's really cool. They'll go to the artist's page and see all the other cool stuff and say, hey, this is a good artist. I'm going to spend some money, too. Mm-hmm. But I don't think I have anything else because I'm right here. So for Statboy Josh Henniger and for Bad News Beeman, my name is Nikki Heyman. You've been listening to the North American Wrestling Connection. Do tune in next week. I'm not sure if we're doing Friday or Saturday.
Me neither.
But regardless, we will be talking extensively about Halloween Havoc and either pre or post Saturday night's main event.